Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Pei Aleph. We're holding right at the top of the daf at the Halakha Mishnah, and the Mishnah now has additional things that we're trying to learn what the shiur would be l'Shabbat. Again, question whether this is the smallest possible shiur, even for someone who is the Matznia, or whether this is the standard shiur that we spoke about as a machlokas, and some of these issues between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbana. So now let's take a look at bone. How much bone? Kedei la'asot tarvad. Tarvad is a medicine spoon, so it has a standard. It's not just a spoon that you can make any size you want, as the Rambam explains. And that is, so nowadays what we would call one spoonful would be the 5cc spoon. That was the standard medical spoon. Kedei la'asot tarvad. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, kedei la'asot bimenu chaf. Now, what that sounds like is that Rabbi Yehuda is saying that, no, it's got to be a lot bigger than that. It's got to be big enough to make a lock out of, or a key for, on the lock, which doesn't make sense because that's a lot bigger than a spoon. Zechuchit, kedei ligror bo rosh akarkar. A karkar is what the a oreg would use, a weaver would use to separate out the kind of warp tangles, and therefore he needs to always make that sharp to be able to get right between the tangle, and he would use a little piece of glass in order to keep scraping it, that it should be sharp. How about a pebble or a rock? Kedei lizrok ba'ov, big enough to be able to throw at a bird to get the bird off of your porch. Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov Amir, no, you know, yeah, bird, you just go woof. That'll scare him. But when it comes to throwing something, it would have to be big enough to get an animal to budge. So it's kedei lizrok bebeima. That's good for the cat. You try going woof to the cat and it'll give you a stare, boy. Forget it. So there you need to have something to throw. Now, wait a minute. Now it turns out, again, Rabbi Yehuda seems to be giving a bigger shear. But that's not the case. I thought Rabbi Yehuda was one who's machmir, even on a smaller shear. And kaimlan de shear, the rabbanon is always adif. Amar Ulo, you misunderstand. He didn't mean to make an entire lock. He meant to make one little tooth of that lock. Remember, they would insert the teeth into the piece that twisted, so we could have a little piece of metal that would twist. It's the chafei potach, atotonon rabbanon, chafei potach atotohorim. So just teeth that used to be inserted in various ways to make your personal combination, they are tahar because they don't kill him at that point if they're just lying there. The moment you put them in the lock, then they become tummy. Now, again, this is a problem because Rashi says over here that if you put them in the lock, they're tummy because even though they don't have a base kibble, for etzem, even pshutei kli etzem are tameim. Now, this is a big problem because we just had earlier in the Masechet, as Tosis points out, that this is Rashi lo dak. We've been talking all along that etzem and eights have the same aloha and that they need to have a beit kibble. And therefore, what we've been talking about over here is where it's bottled to the metal of a lock, yes, but not if it's something that would not be itself makabel tuma, says Tosfos. But if you put the lock on, you put these chafim on a gal, remember, is a gate, like the Gemara had, truki gali, close the doors and don't let the Talmidim in here, or gal na'ul achoti kala. So the gal is a different word for a gate or a door. So then something's wrong with the girsa over here. It should say something like afapi shechibram bepotachat im chibram bedelet or kavan bedelet b'masmerim, they would be tar, because even though the lock would be tame, but since you nailed it onto the door, it becomes a mechubel karka, and therefore reo kekarka, it's not mekabel tuma. Next thing we said was zechuchit. If you've got grass, it's enough to scrape the head of the karkar that a weaver uses to make sure he's got all of those warp threads separated. The Braita uses the word sichuchit with a samach. Rashi points out that both are true. Sichuchit means something you can look through, sach. Zichuchit means something that is clear. So they're both very close ways of saying the same word. So sichuchit, kedei liftzoa bashneim ninim ka'achat. The other thing that a weaver will do with it is cut warp threads that are hanging loose, and he's got to be able to have enough glass to be able to do one pass and cut two of those threads, which is basically the same shear as the amount that you need to sharpen. The next thing we had was if you got a tzor or an even, machlokes, Tanakama says to throw at a bird, Rabbi Elazar says to throw at an animal, on Rabbi Yaakov, on Rabbi Yochanan, when we say to throw at, it's not a symbolic throwing. It's got to be that it makes an impression on the animal and he feels he better move, you know? So it's margeshet pa'am. He's got to feel that it's being thrown at it. And what would be that shear? Tanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, it's got to weigh at least asara zuz to make any impact on that cat. Zonin once came into Beis HaMedrash, and he says, Rabbi Isai, will you tell me, please, the kind of stones that you're supposed to take into the bathroom, what's the size? Now, this, of course, has two applications, besides the practical application, which is what makes it seem that Zonin walks in and says, excuse me, Rabbi Isai, that it was sort of a practical application. But remember, in those days, they did not use toilet paper. And they held that using toilet paper was dangerous, actually, and made a heck of a mess. And therefore, it was absolutely banned. So what they would use would be pebbles of different sizes, stones of different sizes that were sharp at the edge to be able to scrape your skin with. And the Rabbanan, even though it's usher usually because of the takana of mukta, it's usher to move such stones on Shabbos, but because of Kvod Adam, the Rabbanan were matir taking stones into the bathroom. Now, what would be the shear of those stones? But memela, that would have a direct application to the shear of hotzah, because whatever was usable in a bathroom would be the shear that would be usher, or would be chayavan in hotzah, in Rishus HaRabim. So, what's the size? So they said, well, you need three stones, okay? One is the size of a kezias, the other is slightly larger, the size of an egos, and the other is larger than that, the size of a kibitza. So if you do a careful job, you're able to clean yourself without making a mess and then clear off the general area. So he said to them, well, I mean, that is really practical. I mean, I'm assuming that you've got a digital scale with you, of course, when you go to the bathroom, you set things up carefully, and you're weighing all of these stones. And, come on, guys, let's be practical, please. Okay, so they took a vote, and they decided, Nimnu v'gomru, look, a handful, okay, a handful of stones. You get between that, you should get enough different size that would be useful. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, actually, you could take in three stones, kezayit kegozu chebeitza. And Reb Shimon ber Reb Yossi quotes his father, Melo Hayad, which is exactly the discussion that we had over here. Tan Rabbona. Shalosh avanim kurzalot mutar lachnis lebet hakisei. And what is the shear? So here we have a completely different approach. Rabbi Meir, he says, all three of those are about the size of a nut. And Rabbi Yehuda says all three are about the size of a kibbutz. So they disagree with this concept of being careful to use three gradated stones. Omer Rafram Bar Papa, Omer Chista, that same machlokas is the machlokas about the size of an esrog. Remarkable. Rabbi Meir holds an esrog has to be the shear of an egos, and Rabbi Yehuda holds it has to be the shear of a beitza. Come on, what is wrong with you? That's a Mishnah. You don't try to teach people a Mishnah by quoting a brisa about bathroom stones. Everybody knows the Mishnah. I mean, you want to talk about it, use the opposite as the siman. That's a Mishnah, and this is like a brayta. Ella, what you should be saying, he really meant was, the same machlok that we have by Esrog is the machlok that we have over here, and therefore, if you don't know the brayta, utilize your siman. Rabbi Meir is the one who said it goes, and Rabbi Yehuda is the one who said an egg. Om Rabbi Yehuda avolo et ha-pais. You cannot take a pious in. A pious? What's a pious? Omer Rabbi Zera, pious is what passes for a stone in these parts or in those parts in Bavel, but they don't even have any stones. All they have are clumps of ground because everything is over there. Everything is so wet and messy. So what they call a pebble in Bavel is really a piece of sandstone. You can't use that in a bathroom. Omer Rava, osur l'mashmesh b'tzror b'shabbat, kiderech sh'mashmesh b'chol. Also, what was very common in those times was that if you were having a difficult time in moving your bowels, So what you would do was you would stimulate. I mean, this is still done for kids. You stick a thermometer up their ear or something, and that basically stimulates movement. But this is useful for adults as well. So pushing something around the rectum will cause the person to defecate. So that you're not allowed to do, which we thought meant you're not allowed to do it at all. Now, if you are actually constipated in a way that makes it difficult for you to move your bowels, that, says the Gemara, remember we had before, that could bring a person, lidei hadrokan. That's a very dangerous kind of thing. So what are you telling me? I cannot do that on Shabbos. What, listakein? You're supposed to do something that is dangerous? I mean, that's, how could that be? You didn't read carefully. What did he say? He said you can't do it on Shabbos the way you do it b'chol, is all that he said. But you can do it. You just have to do it kila achar yad. So since this can cause on Shabbos cutting hairs, so because of that, you should do it kila achar yad, so you won't be chayev. Normally the Rabbanan answer that, but in order again, in this case, either because of Kvod Adam or here because of any danger that's involved, the Rabbanan did not answer it. So Rava only meant don't do it normally. All of these shiurim is if you have a place that you use as a bathroom. So over there you can bring in the whole handful because anything that's left over you'll use later. It's all good for the bathroom. But suppose you don't have a bathroom. You're basically going outdoors somewhere. Imlav, you can't bring in more than you're really going to need. So over there, use the hechreya, use the compromise position between the three different sizes that we had, which was the kezias, the keegos, and the kebetza. So then bring in only the size of the egos. Meducha, Omer Rabbi Yanai. Im yesh makom kavula bet hakise im alo hayat, im lav kachreya. We had all kinds of machlokas in the different shitas yesterday about how many avonim you can bring in, about what size of the avonim, and so on. So we ended up with two basic shitas, either a handful, or we had the machlokas, whether you would have kezias, egos, and kebetza. Therefore, says Rabbi Yanai, if you have a place that is set aside as a beta kisei, then we allow you to bring melo ayad, even though there's too many avonim there, for one use. But since it's your bathroom, so far, so you'll leave it there. And ultimately, you'll use it up today. But imlav, if, on the other hand, this is a place that you're just, it's outdoors, but it's not set aside to use as a bathroom, so then you bring ke'echreya. You bring the compromise, which is the one in between. What's the one in between? The size of the kezias and the size of the kebetza, huh? The size of the nut. Okay, now we go on to the next thing. Meducha ktana shel besamim. How about if you've got a stone that you had used as a pestle, and you used it for a small spice mortar, so it's just the right kind of size to use for the bathroom. Can you use it? Now, lechora, it makes no sense. What do you mean, can you use it? Of course you can use it. You're even allowed to take a stone from anywhere lying on the ground. So Ripke Vager explains that over here, since you had it set aside as a pestle for a delicate mortar, it must be that you had looked around for it and it's exactly the right shape and so on. And because of that, it would be muktzeh machmas chisaron kis. Muktzeh machmas chisaron kis is more chamur than just avanim that you would find outside, because that's something that you actively set aside not to use. And because we remember our stages of muktzeh, that would be the one that's actively set aside. And because of that, it's completely muktzeh, so you shouldn't there. The Rabbanan were not maskim that you should take it and use it on Shabbos. You can take an oven off the ground, but you wouldn't be able to use this pestle. So because of that, it would only be mutter, says Rav Sheshes, im yesh aleha eid mutar. So if there's testimony, so to speak, in other words, you could see that there's traces on it from previous usage, so then it's disgusting and nobody would use it anymore for food, for a pestle. So because of that, the muktzeh machmas chisaron kis is bottle from it, and now it becomes mutter to use the way you would use anything else. But that implies that according to Rav Sheshes, you would be allowed to use an item that had been previously used for that purpose. And that's a problem, because Meitve, it says in the Braita, Asarat Varim Mevimet Adam Lidei Tachtoniot. There are 10 things that can bring a person to hemorrhoids. The Elohim, Ochel Alei Kanim, the Alei Gifanim, the Levei Gifanim. So if you eat leaves from reeds, or from vines, from grapevines, or the shoots, the little shoots that come out of the grapevines, or morigebe mablo melach, or types of uneven meats, let's say like tongue, and you don't salt them, v'shidro shel dag, and somebody who eats the actual backbone of a fish, v'dog maliach shel bishel kol tzarcho, or let's say herring that wasn't completely cooked, or Ashoteshim reyayin, you drink wine lees, or hamakaneach besidu becharsin, someone who uses a piece of pottery, broken pottery, or lime, or a pebble, shekinach bo chavero, that someone had previously used to clean himself with. V'yeshomrim afatole atzmo bebet hakiseh, and also somebody who hangs over the toilet, so that actually is a very dangerous kind of behavior, especially if you're not supported. That's how Rashi understands it. So squatting, which was the normal way to defecate, actually puts a lot of pressure on the veins and the blood vessels around the anus. And because of that, it can actually cause a vein to pop, which is a hemorrhoid, a varicose vein. So Rashi learns it means unsupported. But the truth is, even supported, staying too long in that position is bad. But anyway, it says over here that a mekaneach betzor shekinach bo chavero ought to be usur because it's dangerous. So how could Reb Sheshet say that if there's an indication that had previously been used, that then you are allowed to use it? On the contrary, then you're not allowed to use it because of the sakana. Answers the Gemara Lokash. The braisa that says it's dangerous is talking about balach, that it's still moist. So in other words, it's been recently used, where Reb Sheshet is talking about dry. And over there, it's not dangerous. Or you could say Reb Sheshet was talking about using the other side. So it was a stone that was mitzad echad, the pesel. And the braisa says you can't use a stone where both sides have been used. V'boyis ema. Or it could be very simple. Reb Sheshet is talking about using a stone that you had previously used, and the Braita was only talking about Betzor Shekinach Bo Chavero, that somebody else had used. Omar Le Abayel Reb Yosef, and what about Yordu Aleo Gishamim B'Nishtashishku? What about if rain had already almost completely cleared it off? Would it then be usable as a mortar, as a pestle again for the mortar, and then it would be usur once again, mahu, so does it now, no longer, we don't longer look at it as a stone that's meant for bathroom use. Amar Leiser, Reb Yosef said to him, im haya rishumam nikar, if there's any indication, even if it's been 90% washed off, you could still tell, it's still considered to be disgusting, and nobody would use such a thing for food, and therefore it would still be mutar. Boy, I mean, a rabba bar of Shila meirav. How about, sorry, a rabba bar of Shila meirav Chista, how about lahalotam acharav legag? Would you be allowed to carry it up to your roof? Or is that already considered to be way too much tircha? So suppose you have like an outhouse on your roof, or you don't have a place to go outside. Omar lei said Rav Chista, gadol kevod habriot shedolcha lo ta'aseh shabat Torah. Since the Torah says that it's osur v'hitalam tamehem, it's osur for you to not pick up something that you find and return it. And nonetheless, we learn out, that's lo tuchal l'hitalem. And we learn out from the pasuk v'hitalamta, which is mashma, that there is a time that you're mitalem, even though it's being said as a question, v'hitalamta mechas v'shalam, lo tuchal l'hitalem. But the fact that the Torah puts it that way teaches us that pa'amim shata mitalem. And when would that be? If it would be zakein ve'eino lefi kvodo. So you see that the Torah says that when it's not mechubad for you, that you should not pick up something that you're going to have to walk around with in order to find the owner. So in other words, the Torah is so makban kvod ha'adam that it cancels a mitzvah for him. So koshikein over here, if it's going to be doicha, lo ta'aseh shebet Torah, obviously what that means is not doicha, that you're going to be over on the Yisra, but that the Torah was matched and was not mechayev you. So over here, when we're koveya, the halacha of muktzah, we certainly would not have created an iser muktzah where it would cause a lack of kavod for a human being's dignity. Now, Maremar was sitting around, and he said this over. So Ravina asked on him from this brayta. If somebody has something stuck between his teeth, does he have a piece of meat or something? And it's really, it's embarrassing to walk out like that. You're allowed to take a toothpick, essentially, from little chips that are lying on the ground, and you can use that even though it's muktzah. For the same reason. Whereas the Chachamim say, no, you cannot. It has to be something that was mukhan before Shabbos. Lo yitol ela min ha'evus shel be'ima. It has to be at least in the evus where it was prepared for an animal to have over there as part of its fodder. So that was mukhan from before Shabbos. Mashma, that according to the Chachamim, we do make a gezera of muktzah, even though it certainly is an affront to human dignity to be walking around with a piece of meat between your teeth. Says the Gemara, what kind of comparison is that? Awesome, if you're taking a toothpick, let me ask you something. You don't know where you're going to be eating. You don't know where you're going to be eating tomorrow. So you have a place. This was Brucey's for yesterday. You have a place, prepare your toothpicks for God's sake, right? So, Adam Kaveh, Mokam Lesudaso. So, why should we tell you go ahead and pick up a toothpick from wherever you want? Mashenke, what are you going to say? You know when you're going to need to relieve yourself. Adam Kaveh, Mokam Lesudaso. So, because of that, we couldn't be Kaveh, an Isser of Muksa under those circumstances. Omer Avuna Osir Lipanot, Bisteinir B'Shabbat, you're not allowed to use a fresh plow in an area that was just plowed, which is called the steinir, and now you're about to plant in it, you can't use it for relieving yourself. Why? Ilema mishum dafsha. Is this because we're worried that you're going to be pressing on the furrows, and that would be damaging, and therefore you're not allowed to damage a person. And what does that have to do with Shabbos? You're not allowed to damage another person's field, even afilo b'chol nami. By the way, just as a lovely aside for the language, sometimes it's really beautiful. So the modern Hebrew word, again, all these are academy words, right? The modern Hebrew word for the accelerator pedal, the gas pedal in a car, is based on this Gemara. Pressing down, dafsha is pressing down. So the dafshata is the daveshet is the accelerator pedal, because that's what you press down on. Isn't that cute? Okay, I see everybody's like really happy. Boy, oh boy. It's like talking to a bunch of sleeping people over here. Gavi, let me see a smile, please. What's going on, man? I get no support sometimes. Okay, so is that the reason? If that were the reason, then it would be asri fila b'chol. Is the reason maybe because there's going to be grass that's growing on it? And then you'll be over if you pick up, because very often you have grass that grows on the stone itself. And then if you pick it up, so then you'll be over on tearing out the grass on Shabbos. That can't be. Because Reish Lakish said that a stone that has grass growing on it, you are actually allowed on Shabbos, if it isn't this problem of the fresh field, you're allowed to use it. And that's not considered to be taking being oiker davar mimokum gidulei, v'atoylesh mimena b'Shabbos. But if you would actually tear the grass off of a stone like that, you would be chayav achatas. And nonetheless, we don't answer you from using the stone with the grass on it on Shabbos. We'll see why in a minute. So we still don't know why Rav Huna is saying that it's usher to use someone else's fresh plowed field as a bathroom area. So it must be the problem must be maybe you'll take a stone that's on the top of a furrow, and when you finish using it, you'll put it towards the bottom of a furrow. And remember that Rabbah said, if you did that, you will be over on Harisha on Shabbos, because the Omar Rava, Italo Guma Utmama, that if there was a hole that was filled in with something soft, if you did this in the house, you'd be chayav mishum bayna, and if you do it in a field, you'd be chayav mishum choresh. So because of that, it's very possible that in a field like this that was just plowed up, you've got areas where the hole is too deep and where the furrow comes up very high. And you'll take off something from the top of the furrow, and then you'll put it in inside, and you'll make it smooth for the Zriya, and therefore you'll be over on the Isser of Charisha. Let's just go back and think about what Reish Lakish said, because what Reish Lakish says is a little strange. Gufa. Reish Lakish trosha aluba ba savim mutar lekaneh, but you're allowed to wipe yourself with a stone that is growing grass, but tolesh miyona b'Shabbos, and yet if you would tear off that grass on Shabbos, you would be chayev achatas. Says Rav Papi, wow, what that shows you is, shmamina mina Reish Lakish, that if you have a parpisa, now let's just, this is an amazing sugya, this parpisa, I'll explain in a minute. Let's just take the simplest explanation of the word parpisa. It means a flower pot that has holes underneath to allow the water to come out, standard flower pot kind of thing. You see from here that according to Reish Lakish, let's say you have a flower pot with growing flowers in it. According to Reish Lakish, you'd be allowed to pick it up and move it around on Shabbos, because he is saying that even though you picked up something that has plants growing on it, which is in this case a rock, and that was on the ground, so it's like a flower pot with holes. But if you pick it up, it's not considered to be being oker dover migidulei, which would be an issur d'oraisa. So then the same thing should be true of the flower pot. If you pick it up, there would be no issur of oker, because what we consider it is that whatever type of relationship it has to the ground from the actual contact with the ground is not destroyed as long as there's nothing interrupting between it and the ground. So if it's in the airspace of the ground, it's still considered to have access to whatever evaporating water and nutrients it would have from the ground. So that means you should be allowed to pick up a flower pot. Matki Florifkana, it's ridiculous. I mean, this whole thing over here was a special heter that the Rabbonin gave you because of Kavod HaBriyos. So im amru letzorech, if they said you could do it because you need it, yomer shelo letzorech. I mean, where did they say that it's stam, it's mutter to pick up a flower pot? Remember that this whole thing, it could be that the Rabbonin were machmir, and maybe even though there's no issur d'oraita of oker dover migidula, but maybe there is an issur d'rabbanan, and therefore would only be mutter, according to Reish Lakish, on Shabbos for purposes of the bathroom, but not stam to move around, but a flower pot. Om Rabbaya, now that we're talking about a bar pisa, I want to say something. Once it came into my hand, gives me an excuse to say something about it, all right? So once I got you as a captive audience, Lema Be Milta, let me tell you something I always wanted to say. Hayamunach al gabe karka. If it's directly on the ground, you lift it up and you put it on top of little lakes, right? So then you would be chayev, because you were tolesh min hakarka. Now Rashi says he cannot mean that you're literally chayev, because nobody argued before on Reish Lakish to say that there would be no isser in picking it up on Shabbos if you need the rock. So therefore, it's clearly only a derabban. And Rashi brings a number of examples where we use the word chayev to mean chayev makas mardus, means that it would be an isser derabbanan. So in order to counter the wrong impression that people had from Reish Lakish, Abaya is saying, it's so usher, it's like, we'll beat you up. So you're b'chayev mishum tolesh. And on the other hand, if it was on top of these little legs and you put it down on the ground, then you would be chayev again, not literally, because now you're planting it. So actually, it's only in the case of needing it for the bathroom that we were matir it bichlal. Now this, what I wanted to tell you was about this parpisa, that there is, Rashi brings this wonderful story that he brings from the Tshuvas HaGaonim. And this is so terrific because it's the earliest expression that we have of two completely different minhagim that relate to Rosh Hashanah. And this is tremendous. So what was a parpisa? The idea is the same, but the parpisa was actually, you would take these big branches, the chotalot that we spoke about in Kalim and we had before, also in the Gemara, big palm branches. You would wrap them as a small container. You would fill them up with dirt and fertilizer. And then depending what type of seeds you wanted to put in them, either 22 days or 15 days before Rosh Hashanah, you would fill them up with either pol hamitzri or chumus or whatever would grow in that mixture. And you would give one to each kid in the house, right, before Rosh Hashanah. And then, erev Rosh Hashanah, these things would sprout. Now they'd be all sprouted with the pol hamitzri or with your chumus sprouts, okay, or bean sprouts. Each kid would then take the one that was made for him, would put it around his head seven times, and would say, Zeh Khalifati, Zeh Tmurati, right? And then he would take it and he would throw it into the river. So this gives us Tashlich and Kaporas in one beautiful minag. Unbelievable. Even the language that's used for Kaporas, right? And it's so much sweeter and so much more relatable to than the horrible chicken kaporas and so on, which is a shaila if it's muta, very big shaila if it's muta b'chol. But it's just so lovely to see that. So that was called the parpisa. Anyway, I'm saying the same thing Abaya said. Once it was asu liyadi, I couldn't resist making a comment about it. Okay. Anyway, so getting back to the sugya. Now, you must admit that this is a pretty strange sugya. Pretty disgusting sugya to have here in the middle of Shabbos, in which like we're going on for page after page of bathroom issues. And, you know, here we're getting even to the non-rolling stone, you know, which gathers moss. I mean, we would have liked to continue rolling and gathering no moss, but here we are right smack bang in this weird sugya. So we've got to figure out what it's doing here. But first, let's finish up a little bit more of it. Amar of Yochan. Also, the kaneir becheres b'Shabbos, you're not allowed to use broken pottery, so pottery shards, for the purposes of cleaning yourself after defecation. My time, mishum sakana. If your problem is that you're worried about the danger of again cutting yourself, that would be true even during the week. What does that have to do with Shabbos? So now feel b'chol nami. Ela, is it because these shards can be used by witches and they can damage you through kshafim? As we'll see later on, a cute story. So then that would be true, afilu b'chol nami. That would be true, even not on Shabbos. It must be, therefore, that the problem over here is that if you're going to use a sharp piece of cheres, even if you're careful not to cut yourself, but over there, you're going to be cutting maybe little hairs near the rectum? No, because that would be a davar shein miskaven, and we paskin like Rabbi Shimon. So we can't figure out any reason for Rabbi Yochanan to make such a big fuss of using shards. Omar lo Rabbi Nosson bar Hoshaya. Now listen here. A great man like Rabbi Yochanan says something, and you guys are sitting around here sagaciously explaining why he's wrong. Well, this doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. That's not the way to look at it. The way to look at it is somebody's got to come up with Rabbi Yochanan's explanation. Name of Bataima. We have to give an explanation, and I will give you the explanation. All of the explanations that you gave were problematic, you said, because if that's the case, then it should be the same during the week, right? That's true. And Rabbi Yochanan wasn't saying only on Shabbos. He was saying even on Shabbos. Even on Shabbos? Yes. Because look, Lomi boy b'chol da'asra. Obviously, if there's any reason to asr, whether it's because of kshafim or whether because it's a little dangerous, you may cut yourself. You might think, okay, during the week, I understand that that's usher, but on Shabbos, at least if I'm able to use shards, which have a din of a kli, as we'll see, depending on the size, so then on Shabbos, it's better not to go around using muksa, like stones, and over there, hold the ikataras kli, alav shabardami, it's better at least to use something that has a din of a kli. Comes along Rabbi Yochanan to say, even on Shabbos, do not use it for the same reason, whatever that reason is, whether it's because of kishuv or whether because it's sharp. And therefore, you can't do it even on Shabbos where there is a value in avoiding muktzah. Even then, don't use it. Rava understood that what Rabbi Yochanan was worried about was indeed cutting hairs. And because of that, he ended up with contradiction in Rabbi Yochanan. Because is it true that Rabbi Yochanan said over here, you cannot use a charsit on Shabbat? Why? Because you might do something which is only a davar she'eino miskaven. which would mean that according to Rabbi Yochanan, Alma Dover Shein Miskaven is usur, but didn't Rabbi Yochanan say that the halacha is always like a Stam Mishnah? And remember, our classic Stam Mishnah about hairs is the one about the Nazir. And it says a Nazir is allowed to rub the hair of his head, and he's allowed to, I don't know what you want to call it, give his hair a wipe, to get it flying, to disentangle it. Bavolosarek, he's not allowed to comb, because there it's a psikration, he's definitely going to be tearing hair. But you see from here that Rabbi Yochanan Paskin is like a Stam Mishnah, would have to agree that there should be no iser in using the cheres on Shabbos, or Bechol. On Shabbos, so it's clear that Rav Nosson Bar Hoshaya, who gave his explanation even on Shabbos. What does this have to do with Kishuf? You said maybe the reason is Kishuf. What does that have to do with Kishuf? Well, there was this famous Maisa where Chista and Rabba Bar Avuna were about to take off in their speedboat, and there was Ayi Matronita. There was this Roman Goyish, the Matronita were the ones that were the Washington women. And Otvan Badaichi, she's saying, please, I need a ride. Are you kidding? I'm going to give a ride to somebody like you. So they refused to take her into that. So she got really angry, and she says this spell to be Asar Tala Arba. And she gets the boat not to move. All of a sudden, the motor dies. So what happens? So they say a counterspell, Amru Ino Milta, and they got the boat released. So Amra Lahu, now, first of all, it's a question. How did they have a right to say a counterspell if, would not be using Kishuf? There's a number of different issues, but one of the sweetest ones is the famous Baal Shem Tov, which is that they didn't say a milsa as a counterspell. They said milta, which is mem lamet tuf, which is mechashefa lo techayeh. So when they say that pasuk destroys kishufim. So that became like this big Hasidish thing that you always say machashefa lo techayeh around women like that. Anyway, Rashi says it means that they used a shame. There's another Rashi, not over here, but Rashi says elsewhere that maybe you're allowed to use it since they were Bikim, because in order to be a member of Sanhedrin, you have to be able to graduate from Hogwarts first, because otherwise you're not able to be done, so you have to be a bookie in spells. So to use it for your own, to save yourself from this attack, you'll be allowed to, because it's a sakana, whatever. But the cutest one, of course, is the Baal Shem Tov's pshat. Okay, anyway, so what happened? So she said, she was very frustrated. Oh my gosh, you got loose? Ah, my Avi Lechu, what am I going to do with people like you? I'm really in a big problem, because I am unable to do anything. The lo mekanech l'chubachaspa, you don't use these broken shards to wipe yourself. V'lokate l'chukina amanaychu, this is Jews, tamir chachamim, and they never kill a louse on their clothes, and they never will be shalef l'yarkav achle mekishat ha'asir gina, they never will pull out a carrot from a bunch of carrots that was wrapped by the gardener, or obviously not only carrots, but any type of things that a gardener wraps, you have to first unwrap it and then eat it. But if you pull something out and eat it, that leaves you open to witchcraft. We'll start the next half in a minute, but this is still part of the Omele Ravuna L'Rabba Berei. So Ravuna said to his son, how come you don't go learn by Rav Chista's yeshiva? Because he's an unbelievable Rosh Yeshiva over there. The Chadad on Shmaita is like very, very clear and sharp. So his son Rabba said to him, I should go to that yeshiva? Every time I go there, you know what happens? He ends up blabbing about all kinds of things that have nothing to do with Torah. I'm not going to yeshiva where they sit around talking about novels. Because I go and sit there, and he starts talking to me about all kinds of scientific matters, medical matters, and he starts telling me, if you go into a bathroom, then don't sit down too quickly and with too much force, because if you do that, also don't strain yourself, because if you do, you need to know that the sphincter muscle of the rectum is supported by these teeth that are delicate, And what you could do is you could actually cause a dislocation, and then you would get a prolapsed rectum. And this is a serious problem, because then you wouldn't be able to defecate. He's giving me a whole biology lesson over there. I mean, really, I do not go to yeshiva to listen to that kind of stuff. Says Rav Huna to his son, on the contrary, what are you, crazy? Who Sibkhaya de Brios says, Rav Chis is trying to teach you with things that are life and death, and you say you call that a waste of time? If ever I thought you should go to that yeshiva, now I'm convinced for sure that's the only yeshiva that you should go to.